Hare Krishna. So I'm happy to be here with all of you. This is my first visit to ISKCON Perth. So today we are going to discuss about creation of this material world. In modern education, they teach creation, and the model they teach is Big Bang Theory. You all heard this Big Bang Theory? You are familiar?
Yes.
They say that long years ago, millions of years ago, there was a point, small point, zero mass, infinite density, small point, and for some unknown reason it exploded, bang, and this world came out. That's Big Bang Theory. So before going the Vedic version of this, I read little bit about Perth, since I am new here, so I thought let me read the history of Perth. How many of you are aware how the Perth city came into being? Okay, so I will tell you. So before 1820, almost before 200 years before, there was nothing, hardly anything, nothing. And then one big bang happened and this whole city came out. Sorry. This whole city came out. You agree?
No.
No? But everybody agrees the whole world came out with a big bang. So that's not true. A bang, an explosion, cannot create. It can only destroy. If there's an explosion, creation doesn't take place. Destruction takes place. If at all an explosion has to create, then it has to be a controlled explosion with very big intelligence behind it. So this modern theory is incorrect. The world is not created by a big bang. The world is created by a big brain. Big bang versus big brain. And that big brain is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator, who is the cause of all causes. Why did he create? Why this world is required? So all living entities, like we are here, millions of living entities, infinitely many living entities, called jivas. In Sanskrit they are called jivas. Soul, atma. So we, each individual atma is part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ansh, part and parcel means ansh. Like a drop of water is part of the ocean, same as we are part of Krishna. Now whatever is chemical composition of the ocean will also be the chemical composition of the drop. Being the part, they have equal chemical composition. So whatever qualities Krishna has, we are his part, so we also have the same qualities. In fact, whatever qualities we see expressed in this world, we should know these qualities have only one source, and that is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. If you go anywhere and you see beauty, either mountains or waterfall or a boy or a girl or a flower, you see beauty. So immediately you should know, from where does this beauty come from? Krishna. He is the source of all beauty, and he himself is very beautiful. One of his popular name is Shyam Sundar. Shyam means black, Sundar means beautiful. Shyam Sundar. He is black and at the same time beautiful. Unfortunately, people think only white is beautiful. But that's not true. Black is also beautiful. And he is a proof of it. Shyam Sundar. So if you see somewhere strength, people having strength, a person having good muscular power, can lift weights. So we should understand from where this strength coming from?
Krishna.
He is supremely powerful. He is the one who at young age lifted Govardhan Hill on his tiny finger of left hand for 7 days and 7 nights and didn't feel any pain. That's his strength. If you see a person truthful, honest, speaking truth always, dealing honestly, gentleman, so where is this truthfulness coming from?
Krishna.
Where is this honesty coming from? Where is this kindness coming from?
Krishna.
He is kind, he is truthful, he is honest. If you see somebody renounced, some sadhu, some sannyasi, given up his life for working for Krishna, given up his career, education, family, money, everything, pure soul. So from where is this renunciation coming from? Krishna. He is also renounced. If you see some thief properly, nicely steals and escapes, from where is stealing business coming from?
Krishna.
You sure? Yes. Krishna. If Krishna doesn't has, then nobody else can have it. Everything comes from Krishna. But the difference is, when he steals butter, he is worshipped. We steal, we are punished. He is famous as Makhan Chor, butter thief. So all qualities of Krishna are present in us. And any quality which is visible in us has the source in Krishna. That is the meaning of part and parcel. There cannot be anything in this material world which doesn't have a source in Krishna. The very existence is because of Krishna. Janma adi asya yataha. The very existence is because of Krishna. So now one quality of Krishna is swarat. Swarat means fully independent, swatantra, free. Krishna is fully independent, fully free to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. He is not bound by any law. He is completely free. There is no law which will make Krishna do a particular activity. He is free to do. If he does something, you can't go and ask him why you did it. He will say, "Meri marzi, my will, my wish." Then nothing binds him. That is God. If God is bound by some laws or under some pressure, then how is he God? So being part and parcel of Krishna, we also have this quality called Swarat. Whatever qualities he has, that is in unlimited quantity. And whatever qualities we have, those are in minute quantity. Like the ocean will have salt, and the drop of water will also have salt, but the quantity will be different. So we also have this quality called Swarat, freedom, but we have a minute one. Minute freedom. Why we are given this freedom? So that we can choose. Freedom means choice. So that we can choose to love Krishna. Love is by choice. Love cannot be forced. This might stand, this glass, this table, they don't have freedom to choose. They are not living entities, they are matter. So they can't love Krishna, or they can't love us, or among themselves. We can't say this mic stand is in love with this glass. Doesn't make sense. Love is possible only by a conscious living entity where there is freedom, free will, choice. So this stand cannot love Krishna, but the I can love Krishna because I have a choice. He can't force us to love him. If I take a gun and say, "Prabhu, love me," will you love me? You may out of fear say, "I love you," but inside you must be thinking, "When the gun goes away, I will see." That's not love. That's forced cooperation. Love is by choice. So that we love Krishna, there is a interaction, loving interaction, give and take, loving give and take relationship. Krishna gives us this free will. That is the purpose of this free will. But then, choice means I may choose to love him, I may choose not to love him. Otherwise it's forced. So in the spiritual world, some living entities, they choose not to love and cooperate with him. They see Krishna in the center, everybody is serving him with love, and they think, "I should be in the center, I should get that love, why will I cooperate and give love?" This potential exists. So those who choose to be in the center, to have their own kingdom, to enjoy separately from Krishna, by loving Krishna, by doing seva to Krishna, we get happiness. But by trying to serve our senses, we don't get happiness. Just like we offer nice agarbatti, flowers, jewelry, garland, clothes, ornaments to Krishna, to Gaur Nithai, to deities, and aarti, agarbati, lamp, fan. And when we do that, everybody becomes happy. Even if there are 1,000 people here, they will be happy. Because Krishna is served, He is in the center. Now, when festival comes like Nityan Trayodashi, we will do Abhishek. He will be bathed with water, milk, honey, other substances, fruit juice, ghee. So we will see the Abhishek, we will chant Hare Krishna, we will dance, we will all be joyful. Right? Now if I sit here and my Abhishek is going on, and honey and milk is being poured on me, neither I will be happy nor those who are seeing me will be happy. Right? Because there is no relationship of love. So some living entities, some jivas in the spiritual world, they choose to be in the center, that I will enjoy separately from Krishna. For example, a young girl, if she sees in the house her mother is cooking, she may develop a desire that, my dear mother, I will also cook. Mother says, no, no, you are very small, you cannot cook. She says, no, no, I want to cook. She is using her free will to be ascertain his her desire, and she is stubborn. I want to cook. Will mother allow? Mother will say, look, you are small girl, if you cook, either you will burn or food will burn, and both is a loss for me, so you cannot cook. But if she keeps on insisting and disturbing, what will mother do? She will go to the market and purchase a toy kitchen. You all know there is toy kitchen? Small bowl, small gas, small utensils, spoon, and she will give. This is your kitchen, you cook in this. And she will be very happy. I have a new kitchen, mother has an old dirty kitchen, and she will cook. After 3 hours, she will go to mother and say, mummy, mother, nothing happened. Mother said, don't worry, gudiya, don't worry, my dear girl, my cooking is over, come, I will feed you. In the same way, in the spiritual world, we do the same activity with Krishna. Krishna is enjoying with the gopis, doing Raslila, marrying 16,108 queens in Dwarka, stealing makhan, taking care of lakhs of cows. You say, Krishna, I will also do. Krishna says, look, you are small, you can't do. Say, no, no, I also want to do the same thing. Say, look, even one wife is difficult, 16,000 will be too much for you. But we say, no, no, stubborn, I also want to do. We insist. So Krishna gives us a toy. What is that toy? This material world. He said, go and make your khichdi. Go and cook your food. Go and have whatever you want to do. And we are doing here. Anything happening? Nothing happening. So we go back to Krishna. Nothing happened. Krishna said, don't worry, my khichdi is prepared. Come, I will feed you. How a mother will pick up the daughter. So we have been given this material world to fulfill our desires. And since ages, millions of people, which includes us, in millions of opportunities, which includes millions of births, we have been trying to fulfill our desires. But it's happening? It's not happening. Our desires are not getting fulfilled. The list keeps on increasing. And even if one gets fulfilled, 10 new get added. So it doesn't work. Everybody is hoping that tomorrow I'll be happy. But that tomorrow is not coming. From childhood till young age to adult to old age till death, we are just hoping tomorrow I'll be happy. But that happiness is not coming. So one of the purpose of creation is to fulfill our desires. There are other purposes of creation which we will discuss. So this world is created to fulfill our desire, a toy world and a big process is done. So for the purpose of creation, we'll go back to little spiritual world, the original supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna, popularly also called as Vrindavan Krishna, Vrajendra Nandan Krishna, or Shyam Sundar, Yashoda Nandan. That's the original supreme personality of Godhead. Then by his own potency, Krishna expands into Balaram, who is also supreme personality of Godhead. That doesn't mean there are two gods. Krishna has thousands and millions of expansions, but he is only one person. For the purpose of various functions, for the purpose of various relationship with devotees, he expands into multiple forms. So one becoming two, Krishna and then Krishna and Balaram. There is no them. This is only our language. It is deficiency of our language that we talk as if there is time involved, but there is no time in the spiritual world. The word before, later, tomorrow, yesterday, past, future do not exist in the spiritual world. There is no time involved. But we talk because we are under the purview of time. Our language, our understanding, our logic is under the purview of time. So Krishna expands into Balaram. After that, Krishna goes back to his flute playing, to having pastimes with his cowherd boys, cows, calves, gopis, Nanda Baba, Yashoda Maiya in Vrindavan. He does not do anything as far as creation is concerned. In various scriptures and verses, when we hear Krishna created the material world, we should understand Krishna doesn't do any direct engineering. But this is only for us to understand that material nature is not independent. So Krishna, after expanding into Balaram, he goes back to his flute playing. So Balaramji, who is non-different from Krishna, he further expands into four. What is called Chatur Vihu. Four personalities. It's little technical. Maybe we can use the board. We can write as a chart. We write Krishna, Balaram. So Krishna expands into first, what is called first group of four personalities, Chaturvyu, named Vasudev, Sankarshan, Anirudh, Pradyumna. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Anirudh, Pradyumna. These are four expansions of Krishna. Sorry, four expansions of Balaram. From first, in the first Chaturvyu there is Sankarshan. From him comes second Chaturvyu. From Sankarshan comes second Chaturvyu, same names. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Anirudh, Pradyumna. Second group. Many other groups also come for different varieties of functions. So as far as creation is concerned, we are making a hierarchy. Okay? So Krishna, then Balram, then first Chaturvyu, then second Chaturvyu. Chaturvyu includes four. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh. Okay? So Sankarshan of second Chaturvyu expands into what we popularly called as Narayana forms. Various Narayana forms you see, various Vishnu forms you see, they are expanded from Sankarshan of second Chaturvyu. Narayana. Okay? From Narayana, now this is important, come three Purusha avatars. I'll give the names first. Karnodakshai Vishnu, popularly also known as Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu, also known as Paramatma. These are called three Purush avatars. There are two terms we should understand, Purush and Prakriti. Purush means enjoyer. Prakriti means enjoyed. Purush takes enjoyment. Prakriti gives enjoyment. So Krishna is called Purush. He receives enjoyment. And the material world or matter is called Prakriti. Gives enjoyment. Like if I have some sweet and I take enjoyment from the sweet, so that sweet is Prakriti, and for that sweet I am Purush. But I am supposed to give enjoyment to Krishna. So Krishna is Purush and I am Prakriti for him. Clear? Purush, Prakriti. So there are three Purusha avatars. Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu.
Mahavishnu is
Karnodakshai. They three have three different functions for this creation. So the spiritual world and the spiritual space or spiritual sky is all pervaded by Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti is Krishna's bodily effulgence. Just like sun is at one place and sunlight is everywhere. Or we have this tube light at one place and light everywhere in the room. So may Krishna, local, from his body comes bodily rays, bodily effulgence, illumination, what is called Jyoti, Brahma Jyoti. So the entire spiritual space, spiritual sky is pervaded with this Brahma Jyoti. Even this material world is all surrounded by Brahma Jyoti, which we also call impersonal aspect of Krishna. Divyam, transcendental, eternal, unlimited, nirgun, nirakar, formless, without qualities, unchangeable, so many attributes are there, so many adjectives are there. This impersonal Brahma Jyoti, that is Krishna's bodily rays. So if anybody is getting confused, please let me know. It's very technical, I am trying to put in simple words. So the whole spiritual sky pervaded by Brahma Jyoti, when Krishna desires, gets a cloud. Like we have clouds in the sky. So when Krishna desires, he gets a cloud where this material world is created. That is also called Mahatattva. Mahatattva, why? Because everything is inside that. We will discuss what all is inside that. So in that, there is a big ocean called Kaujal Ocean, Karna Sagar. And this Mahavishnu, the first Purusha Avatar, Karno Dakshai Vishnu, he goes and sleeps on the surface of that ocean. Sleeping time. Nidra. Yoga Nidra. Now when children are in water tub, taking bath, they play. They play and bubbles come out. So when Karno Dakshaya Vishnu is playing in the Kaujal Ocean, bubbles come out. What are these bubbles? Universes. Now one universe is so big. We are in one planet, Earth planet, that is very very small as compared to so many other planets, and what to speak about such a big universe. One universe is Brahmand, very very big. And it comes out from the pores, skin pores of Mahavishnu. Imagine how much big is Mahavishnu. Very big. And when he breathes, when he exhales, air comes out, the universes come out. When he again inhales, breathes inside, all the universes go inside. So his one breathing, out and in, is a full creation and destruction. For him it's one breathing, only one, like we, done, creation, destruction. Second creation, destruction, done. What, we are so tiny in front of him. We are insignificant, no meaning to our powerful position, and I think I am God, I am master, everybody should listen to me, I am the controller. It's so funny, doesn't make sense. So when he exhales, the air breathing goes out, the universes come out, and after coming out, they remain on the surface of the Kaujal Ocean. So universe is so big, how big must be Mahavishnu? And if Mahavishnu is so big, how big must be the Kaujal Ocean? If universe is coming out of the pore, and see, universe is thousands of miles, pore is thousands of miles, one pore, how much must be the whole person? It's huge, huge. We are, our measurement, the soul's measurement, for the purpose of understanding, is how much?
1/10,000
tip of the hair. And what is Mahavishnu? Any comparison? So it's obvious we should be serving him. But we do the mistake of not serving him. Okay, so universe came out, but all universes are floating, nothing more happening. For something more to happen, Mahavishnu, as many universes are there, that many forms he takes and enters into each universe. In each universe now there is one form expanded from Mahavishnu. That personality is called Garbho Dakshai Vishnu. How many universes are there? Infinite, unlimited, can't count. That many forms of Garbho Dakshai Vishnu enter into each universe. Universe is just an egg shape, nothing else. And he enters. And Garbho Dakshai looks around, nothing there, where will I sit? no asan. So then from his body comes sweat, fills half the universe. And Anand says his expansion lies on the sweat water called Garbhodak Ocean, and Garbhodak Shai Vishnu lies on the Anand Shesh, resting. So this is one part where Krishna has expanded into Purusha avatars, and the first Purusha avatar is Kanodakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu. He has produced universes, and now Garbhodakshai Vishnu, expansion of Kanodakshai Vishnu, has gone into each universe. There's ocean, he is lying down. Now when he thinks of creation, then his desire to create sprouts from his navel. See, for Krishna, there is no difference between desire and action. What he desires becomes an action. What he desires becomes a product. If Krishna is sitting and desires or thinks of mango, before he completes the thought, there will be a plate of mango there. That is Krishna, and that is his servants. Not like us, we sit and desire for mango and nothing happens. So when he thinks and desires, it immediately manifests into action. His energies, his potencies, his vibhutis, his opulences are so powerful. It's like this, a Supreme Court judge says, hang until death, and the person is executed. His words translate into action. If I sit and say, hang until death, nothing will happen. Right? So Krishna is coming from that position where whatever he thinks, he desires, that translate into products and actions immediately, simultaneously. So Garbhodakshai Vishnu, when he thinks of a creation, then a lotus bud and then a lotus stem sprouts from his navel. Big lotus stem. And on the top comes lotus flower. And then the first living entity, Lord Brahma, is created by Garbhodakshai Vishnu on the top of the lotus flower. This becomes the first step of creation, to create Brahma. Because everything else Brahma will do now. So Brahma comes on the lotus flower suddenly, and he starts wondering, who am I? Where am I? What is the purpose? Why am I here? What I am supposed to do? Sees here and there. Nothing he finds. Now Garbhodakshai Vishnu, very merciful. If you again look here and there, you will have a neck pain. So he gives 1, 2, 4 heads he gives him. Don't look here and there. He gives him. As many directions are there in the universe, that many heads Brahma gets. In the universe we stay, there are 4 directions, so 4 dimensions, so he gets 4 heads. There are Brahmas with 10 heads, there are Brahmas with 100 heads, there are Brahmas with 1 lakh heads, there are Brahmas with 10 lakh heads, there are Brahmas with 1 billion heads, 10 billion heads. There are. That means there are bigger universes than the universe we stay, which having 10 dimensions, 100 dimensions, lakh dimensions and billion dimensions. We can't even conceive. We can't even imagine. You know, in mathematics they teach let there be a 10-dimensional space, let there be 100-dimensional, just keep on saying n-dimensional. Nobody can conceive or imagine this. Even one extra dimension we can't imagine, the fifth dimension. We can't imagine. We are bound by the four dimensions. Brahma also is bound by the four dimensions. So Brahma gets four heads, but that doesn't solve his problem. No answers. He doesn't get an answer. He just gets heads. Everywhere is dark. There is water below. He hears the waves. And he wants to know where I am. Imagine if you are sleeping and when you woke up, you are not in the same room where you slept. What will be your first question? Where am I? What is happening? Such a big anxiety it will be. So he has this anxiety and he wants to find out. So he sees the only possible clue he has is this lotus flower on which he is sitting. Nothing else is, everything is dark around, space around, nothing else is there. Only this lotus flower on which he is sitting. So he thinks something I should find in this only. So he enters the lotus stem. The whole lotus stem from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he enters inside, goes below, 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 thinking there will be some end, at the end I will get another clue. So he goes below, 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 doesn't end only. For years and years, Brahmaji goes below, 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 doesn't end. Finally gives up, comes back again. Still on square one, no answers, only questions. But then, Brahmaji hears sound. He hears only two syllables. What syllables? One is ta and one is pa. Only sound he hears. Tapa. Tapa means tapasya. Austerity. Performing austerities means voluntarily taking bodily pain for spiritual advancement. That's tapasya. Fasting. Fasting is one type of austerity. Getting up early morning, attending Mangal Arati, chanting our rounds is bodily inconvenience. But we do it for spiritual advancement. So that's tapasya. Taking bodily inconvenience but not for spiritual advancement, that is not called tapasya. Or forced bodily inconvenience, that is also not called tapasya. Somebody is so poor, he has nothing to eat. So that's not called fasting, that's called starvation. That's not called austerity, that's not called tapasya. He is forced to do, he is not doing it by choice. He is not voluntarily doing it. Or for some political reason, somebody does tapasya, bhukhartan, fasting. That is also not called tapasya. That is also not called austerity. Because it's not for spiritual advancement. It's for political reasons. So Brahmaji, he heard ta and pa. So he performed tapasya with devotion. For 100 years of demigod calculation. Very long period. And at the end, he was successful. And he saw there was illumination everywhere and he had directly had darshan of Vaikuntha, the spiritual abode of Krishna, Vishnu. And he had beautiful darshan of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Sheshnag, very, very attractive, Lord Vishnu wearing nice yellow dhoti and bluish body. And a golden helmet, and nice flower garland, and big, big earrings, and rings on his body, sorry, fingers, and ornaments, and smiling very nicely, and lotus petal like eyes, moon like face, curved eyebrows, curly hair, nice earrings, bangles, armlets, anklets, nice cloth on the waist, Kaustubhmani, Srivatsa, the silver and golden hair he has on the chest, and Sheshnag, white body, and on the hoods there were jewels so shining. And Brahmaji was in ecstasy. He had direct darshan of Vishnu. He had tears in his eyes. His hairs were standing. He was so joyful. And then he had darshan of Govind, Lord Krishna. That is when he wrote Brahma Samhita. You heard Brahma Samhita? There is one book. There is only one chapter. There are 100 chapters like this. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidanand Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He wrote this prayer, Chintamani Prakara Sanmasho Kalpaviksha. And then Lord Krishna played his flute, and the vibration, sound vibration of that flute entered Brahmaji's ears, and all the four Vedas, all the knowledge of four Vedas immediately got revealed in Brahmaji's heart. That was Brahmaji's Diksha. And then Krishna said, I am very pleased with you. You did tapasya with devotion. And Krishna shaked his hand with him. Shabash, good boy. Friendly shake. Told him, you create this material world. Just as you saw Vaikuntha, like that you create. Prototype he saw him. You are qualified to create. See, it's not easy to create this material world. So Brahmaji folded his hands, offered prayers to him, and he hesitated. He said, I will not create. First of all, you shook your hands with me. Second, you are telling to create. If I create, I will be proud that I did it. You are such a great personality and you are shaking hands. I will be proud. And pride is very dangerous. Brahmaji was afraid that if I become proud, then everything will be lost. So Lord Krishna told him four shlokas. That's called Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. Original Bhagavatam is only four shlokas. And he said, after telling the four shlokas, he said, if you remember this, you will never be proud. Some other time we can discuss the four shlokas. Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. As of now, we have Bhagavatam 18,000 shlokas. But they got expanded. Krishna told to Brahma first time Bhagavatam, four shlokas. Brahma told to Narad Muni, Narad Muni told to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva wrote it down. Now we have 18,000 shlokas. In demigod planets, Bhagavatam is 1 lakh shlokas. Very much expanded. So, oh. Thank you. So Krishna gave him four shlokas. He said, if you remember this, in your service of creation, you will never become proud. Then Krishna, when Vishnuji disappeared from the sight, and Brahmaji started meditating on how to create, and Brahmaji saw the whole lotus flower was shaking because there was water of devastation and wind very violently was moving. So because Brahmaji got the power of from Krishna, from Vishnu, he drank all the wind and all the water, and the things were settled. Then, in the lotus flower, there were all the planets created. And he divided into 3 planetary systems, and then 14 planetary systems. This is geographical part of it. We'll see that later. But now, for creation requires raw material. If you are making a car, then you need first all the parts. All the parts are made and then the assembly is done and the car is made. So the raw material is required. That is called 24 elements. Our body is also made of 24 elements. Before trying to understand how these 24 elements are made, first let us become familiar with these 24 elements. Is there anyone who would know all the 24 elements? Okay, we'll go very simple way so that we understand. We'll go very simple way. So So the first group is called gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So we write down all the 24, no? So you use the space accordingly. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Five gross elements. Three subtle elements. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Five knowledge acquiring senses. We have five senses by which we acquire knowledge. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. If these five senses are not functioning, then even if I am alive, I will never know what is happening around me. There is a glass here. How do you know?
Eyes.
Eyes give information to us that glass exists. The float is hard or soft? Hard. How do you know?
Touch.
Skin. Skin is giving you information the floor is hard. You are hearing me? I am speaking. How do you know I am speaking? Your ear is giving you information. So eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, they give us information of anything existing. Any object which is not accessible to these five senses, we will not have an experience of that object. So we have experience only of those objects which can be accessed through five senses. Like anger. We don't have experience of anger because it is not accessible through the five senses. We can't see anger. We can't taste, touch, smell or hear anger. The effect of the anger we can see. Somebody shouts at us or somebody is violent, beats us or somebody else he beats. We can see the effect of anger. So are we clear? Five knowledge acquiring senses. Gyanendriya. They give knowledge of the outside world. Then five working senses, karmendriya, hands, legs, mouth, anus, genitals. These are five karmendriya, working senses. They work, they do an activity, they perform an activity. Eyes will tell me there is glass here. But eyes cannot go and pick up glass. Hand is karmendriya. Hand will pick up glass and touch the lips. Then tongue will taste the water. So that's again gyanendriya involved. Tongue will taste the water. Water will go in the stomach and evacuate through genitals. Again karmendriya involved. So five karmendriya, five gyanendriya, five knowledge acquiring senses, five working senses. These ten together and the other things do an activity. It's not very simple what is happening. For us it's simple, pick up glass, drink and okay, finish. But lots of things are happening behind it. Right? Even how is the water created? And please don't tell me H2O. Water is not created by H2O. Anybody in the laboratory, chemistry laboratory, went to hydrogen, to oxygen, mixed it and got water? It will never happen. It's just for marks. H2 plus O2, balance it, H2O, 2 marks. But up till now, anybody did this in laboratory? If it was such a simple thing, why didn't your chemistry teacher told you, come in the laboratory, we'll make water? Why don't you go to desert, take hydrogen, take oxygen, mix it and give water and make agriculture? It doesn't happen. Anyway, so how water is created? It's a different chemistry. So five Gyanendriya, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. Five Karmendriya, hands, legs, mouth, genitals, anus. This work, this acquire information. Together the system operates. So now five sense objects. The word object here doesn't mean object like this. These are called tanmatras. Five objects of five Gyanendriya, senses. For eyes, it is sight. For nose, it is smell. For ears, it is sound. For skin, it is touch. And for tongue, it is taste. So, an object which has taste in it can be accessed through our tongue. An object which produces sound can be accessed through our ears. Like air. How do you know air exists? Because of skin, touch, not because of eyes. Your eyes cannot tell you the existence of air. The skin can tell you the existence of air. So this five sense objects corresponding to five knowledge acquiring senses are called sense objects, tanmatras, who are present in thousands of other objects. Like glass contains sound, mic stand contains sound, floor contains sound. So this floor, glass, mic stand are not sense objects what I am talking about. They are also objects. I am talking about what is inside them which helps us to identify these objects through our senses. There are millions of sense objects if you talk about object. We are talking about the items, the elements which are present in matter which help our senses to access them. Clear? Like we have mobile, we have signal. Mobile accesses signal. Signal may be one, and many mobiles may access it. Or a TV station sending signal, and many TV boxes access the same signal and show the same program. Signal is one, televisions are many. Same, objects are many, sound is one containing in all the objects. And when that object makes sound, we access it through our ears. Yes, this object is there, this person is speaking, or this glass fell down and the sound came out. We are good with this? Five sense objects. What are these? Smell,
taste,
touch, sight, and sound. How many? 23. And finally is Mahatattva, which we discussed. The whole combination of all this. We are going in one way of understanding. There are another way of understanding creation and counting elements. But we are in course 001. We'll go through this much. So we have to discuss how these elements are created, because these are the raw materials by which these bodies, this mountain, this rivers, this plants, and all the objects we see are created. There are different levels of creation. Like creation of a microphone is a very later part of creation. First earth, water, fire, air, ether is created. Then a body is created. Intelligence is created. And a person having that intelligence will create a factory and do research and electronics, and then microphone nowadays is created. It's a later part of creation. But even now it's happening. New objects are being created because the raw materials are there. Intelligence is part of the raw material. If a person has hands, legs, money, factory, but no intelligence, will he be able to create these gadgets? No. But all these objects created belong to Krishna. We are just doing labor work. Raw materials belong to him. If you invite a team of people, give them stone, cement, water, steel, all the raw materials to make a building, and he uses his labor work to make a building, and at the end says, this building belongs to me because I made it. Will that be acceptable? No. This building belongs to me because I gave you the raw materials. So nowadays people are doing so many manufacturing, so many items are being made, but all that belong to whom? Krishna, because raw materials belong to Krishna, including the intelligence which is used, including the skill, the talent which is used to gather these resources and come out with gadgets or any other items. So these are the raw materials. There are three modes of material nature. We'll come to that. So this, all 24 have their own properties, have their own characteristics, have their own interrelationships. We'll do that tomorrow. Now let us be familiar with this 24. If you are familiar, I would request somebody to repeat them. All 24. We'll help you.
Earth, water, air, fire, ether. Then there's mind, intelligence, false ego. Then there is 10 working and working senses and knowledge. Sorry, 5 working senses, and there is 5 knowledge acquiring senses. There's nose, skin, ear. Nose, ear, skin, eyes, and tongue. Yeah, that's 5. And then the
working senses.
So anus, genitals,
hands, legs.
Yeah, hands, legs, and
mouth.
Touch.
Mouth.
That's 5. And then, so that's 5, 5,
sense objects.
18, sense objects, that's smell, sight, smell, sight, taste, touch, and
sound.
23 and
Mahatattva. What is the good name?
Punya Shloka Krishna Prabhu.
Let us clap for him. So next, who would like to tell? Yes. So we will try not to prompt him, even if it takes time, so he will develop confidence. You want to tell it? Yeah.
5 gross elements, which is ether, air, water, fire, earth. 5 kyanendriya, which is eye, ear, nose, skin, and tongue.
Yes.
Yep. 5 karmendriya, which is hand, leg, mouth, anus, genitals. 5 sense objects, which is smell, sight, sound, touch, and taste.
Mm.
3 subtle, which is mind, intelligence, ego, and mahatattva.
Yeah, shabash. Very nice. What is the good name, Prabhu?
Mitesh Prabhu.
So let us clap for Mitesh Prabhu. Very nice. Yeah, next, we need to know this. 24 elements. Yeah.
Earth, water, fire, air and ether, mind, false ego, and intelligence, 5, Nanendriya will be eyes, eyes, nose, ears, tongue, and skin. And five, karmendriya will be hands, legs, genital, anus, and mouth. Touch, sight, taste, smell, and
Sound. Very nice. Very nice. What is your good name?
Mahesh.
Mahesh ji. Very nice. Who else would like to try? Yeah.
Earth, water, air, fire, ether, subtle elements, mind, force, ego, and
intelligence.
Then nose, mouth, eyes, skin, and ears. And then
come again, this five?
Nose, mouth.
So there's a mixture. Mouth is a working sense.
Right.
Nose is a information gathering sense.
Yeah, so information gathering. Nose, ears, eyes, tongue, and skin. And the
working sense.
Working senses, hands, legs, mouth, anus, genital,
sense.
And sense objects, sight, sound, taste, smell, and
touch,
and mouth.
Very nice. What is your good name, Prabhu?
Kavish.
Kavish. Let's clap for Kavish. So if you learn this very nicely, anytime you can give a class, you know. Just explain and teach people and tell them to repeat. Any more? Would like to try? Yes.
Water, earth, Prithvi, Jal, Agni, Vayu, water, earth, fire, air, and ether. And then mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then the karmendriya is, gyanendriya, and nose, eyes, nose, eyes, ears, skin,
touch,
and
tongue. And it's all in the ear. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. It's all here.
Right.
Yeah.
And then karmendriya, leg, arms, legs, genital, anus, and...
You're speaking, right?
Yeah.
Mouth.
Mouth.
Mm.
Mouth. And then... Sense objects are touch, taste, sound, sight,
smell, mouth. Yeah, Mahatattva. Yeah. Your good name?
Krishna
Chaitanya Prabhu. Very nice. Next. Who would like to try? This for our learning, this part of education.
Maybe on this side.
Mataji's? Yeah.
And sense object, taste, smell, sound, sight, and touch. Nanendriya, eyes, nose, ears, mouth, sorry, tongue, and skin. And Mahatattva and mind, intelligence, and ego.
Rigo.
Yeah, okay. 24. Your good name, Madhari? Hansa Mataji, okay, we'll clap for her. Very nice. One more? Any other Mataji? Yeah.
Five gross elements, earth, air, water, fire, ether. Three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, four people. Gyanendriya, eyes, nose, ears, tongue, and skin. Five working senses, hands, legs, mouth. Genitals, anus, five sense objects, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, and mouth.
Okay, very nice. Your good day, Madhari?
Rupavati Radharani.
Rupavati Radharani Madhari. Okay, we'll clap for her. Very nice. So, I guess many of you will be coming tomorrow. We continue this series. So I request you to please take a paper and pen, take 2 minutes, write down these 24 elements group wise and bring. We'll tomorrow discuss some equations which will help us. If you already know it, then you'll be able to follow it better. So just write down.
Would you have one question if you
finish? I was just about to summarize, so give me 2 more minutes.
Thank you.
So, what we discussed today, I just gave a summary that the creation is not by a Big Bang theory, it's by a big brain, there is Krishna behind it, and the purpose is to help us to fulfill our desires, and there are other purposes which we'll discuss, because the living entity has a free will, so we desire to be separately enjoying from Krishna, and then to manifest this material world. Krishna expands into Balram, who expands into first and second Chaturvyu. Then second Chaturvyu expands to Narayana. And then three Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Karnodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. We discussed Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean, and from his bodily skin pores, universes are manifested. And in each universe, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lies down Anand Shesha and creates Lord Brahma, who after undergoing tapasya gets the knowledge from Lord Shri Krishna, and he sees Vaikuntha, the prototype. Accordingly, he makes this material world, and this material world is made of 24 elements which we listed. And the Shirodakshaya Vishnu and the interactions of these elements and the three modes of material nature we'll discuss tomorrow. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Yeah, if there are any questions or comments, we'll take. Yes.
Sorry, before Prabhuji.
No problem.
I have one question. You say that when we in a spiritual world, then we become envious of Krishna. Why we serve Krishna all the time? But I heard in one lecture that there is no enviousness in spiritual world. It's only in material world.
So as soon as there is envy, it's a material world. So let us not see spiritual world, material world as two compartments, like two rooms. It's not geographical. You can stay in the temple, but be in the spiritual world or be in the material world. You are getting me?
Yes.
So it's not geographical, it's the consciousness. If I close my eyes and I say, why don't you turn on the lights? So is there darkness here or light here? It depends whether I am opening my eyes or close my eyes. So when we are away from Krishna, that's material world. The way we discuss creation is only because of our deficiency of intelligence that we eventually consider as geographical, upar niche, up down. Right? So those who as soon as think of enjoying separately from Krishna in the material world. And material world is a cloudy part of the spiritual world. So you're not out of the spiritual world. See, Krishna is a person who cannot tell you get out because there's nothing out of him.
It's like a jail here.
But you are still part. Jail is part of the city only. So these examples are given to make us understand. The consciousness is what matters. Maya or material illusion is what our consciousness is. I can see this flower as Mahaprasad, or I can see this as sense object, an object which I will enjoy with my nose. Even the material world, I would say, doesn't exist. If you read 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it all exists inside us, not outside. For example, if there is a flower on the road and a goat passes by, goat, and sees the flower, what will the goat understand? Breakfast. Tasty breakfast. A gardener sees, who sells flowers outside, he says, oh, $1, I can pluck this flower, put it in my stock, $1, right? A girl sees, says, oh, I can put it in my hair, it's a decorative piece. A boy sees, I can give a gift to my girlfriend, she'll be so happy. Yesterday we fought, today everything will be okay. Right? Our pujari sees, he says, oh, I'll bring to Gaurneta an offer. Right? All these possibilities are there. Now tell me, what is this object? Is it breakfast? Is it a saleable commodity? Is it a decorative piece? Is it a gift? Or is it an offering to Krishna? Bhoga. What is this object, which we call rose? Five individuals in this example, they saw one object in five ways. And what is that object? We don't know. We know the object related to my desire. So the whole material world which we see actually is based on our desire. There is a world existing, but we don't know that world. We know our desire and the reflection of the whole world on our desire plane. You are with me?
Yes, sir.
So what we see is not the actual world. What we see is a reflection of the actual world based on our desire. If my desire is such that flower has no value to me, I'll just walk past as if it doesn't exist. Say a lion. For that is dirt, useless. Right? So existence of material world is on our desire plane. It's reflected on our desire plane. So as soon as one thinks separately from Krishna, he is in the material world. And such a potential exists. If such a potential doesn't exist, then we are forced to cooperate with Krishna. We are forced to love Krishna. And the very nature of love is it cannot be forced. It's a theoretical possibility which cannot be denied. Now how does it occur? It's not so simple to tell. How did I come from spiritual to material? Because I was envious. This is a way to express it, but that's not so easy to understand, because the journey from that consciousness to this consciousness cannot be easily understood. For example, if I tell you, go from here to New York, and you go, and you come back and explain the journey, what will be the possible explanation?
Then I go through the plane.
I went to Perth airport,
yeah.
Took a flight, flew to America, landed, right? Now I tell you another journey. Sit here, through your mind, you go to New York and have a tea with your friend and come back. Through your mind, don't physically. Now can you explain the journey? Which airport? Oh, mind will just go. You getting me? And that happens. Sometimes we sit in a history class and we are in geography somewhere. Right? Mind goes.
Daydreaming.
So the journey of the body is easy to explain. Journey of mind is very difficult to explain. Right? You can explain through this door you exited or this door you exited when you go. But when the mind goes, can you tell which door it took? No. Right? So the journey of mind is very difficult to explain to our intelligence. Now we are talking about journey of soul from the spiritual world to material world. It's not easy to understand. It exists, the journey exists. Somehow I have come down to material world. But how? What vehicle, which airport, which airline? It's very difficult to understand. So acharyas have repeatedly insisted, go back. Go back. You will not understand it here. If you are on the ocean and a boat comes and helps you, don't ask, how did I fall down? Just pick up the rope and go up. Acharyas have explained this. What is more important is we have come to save you. Not go come and explain you who pushed you here. Right? Even if you understand how I came to the ocean, still you are at the same place. Still you are in danger. You catch cold. Okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Yeah, sorry.
It's a question similar to that, probably just leading on from that. I understand the response and I can sort of understand that to an extent, but I still am struggling to comprehend the fact that a material desire existed in a completely spiritual environment where you were engaged in a spiritual activity. How is that? I'm not able to understand how that happens.
So it is, as I said, free will, a potential. For example, just for the sake of example, Kavish. You think you can slap me?
Yes and no, I guess.
Difficult, right? The potential exists, but the possibility is very less. But it cannot be denied. Right? Same thing. The possibility exists, cannot be denied. But the probability is very low that we will rebel from Krishna. Right? But you cannot say no also, right? Same thing, we cannot say no to it. Because if the possibility doesn't exist, then the relationship is forced. And that's completely contrary to the very nature of love. Right? And the point is, it happened. What we think should not have happened, happened. And the proof is we are here. Right? It happened. Unfortunately. Some miscalculation happened. We are here. If this doesn't satisfy you, that's fine. It happened, but I don't understand why it happened. Let me go back at least. That's the urgency. The urgency now is to go back rather than understand how it happened. Okay?
But can you put that to chance or the exposure to Maya, Maya's forces?
It's not chance, it's misuse of free will. It's a calculated move. It's a misuse of free will. And let me add, there is a controversy in ISKCON about this, because there are two sides of this opinion, that it cannot happen, that yes, it can happen. Prabhupada was directly asked this question, and he said, we fell down from the spiritual world. There are quotations which I can provide you. So we go by that. Okay, Prabhupada taught this because people were not much knowing about Vedic culture, Westerners. That's fine. Prabhupada taught me this. I'll take this forward. It will help me in my spiritual life. So it's like that. So the possibility cannot be denied, though the probability is very low. But it has happened. We are here. That's the proof. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Just in continuation of that, Prabhu, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, once you reach to my abode, you will never return from there.
Yeah. Once bitten, twice shy. Once, only this happens. So now if you go back, then Krishna has promised, you will not come back. If you drink hot milk and your tongue gets burnt, next time even if somebody gives you white lassi, you will think once. Right? Once bitten, twice shy. So Krishna promises this, I will hold you.
But if you go back and then again we have the same desire, then we come back again.
Theoretically, yes. But Krishna promises it will not happen. Some of this experience will help you. Do you think actually if you go back you do anything that it has to come back? No. Right?
The desire of, you know, for example, I was thinking from the material point of view. Some people they say, I will not do this thing again. And a few days, few years, they are not doing that thing and one day they do.
So Krishna says you will become free from this tendency.
But is it memory remains, Prabhu?
Memory doesn't remain. The tendency, so Krishna's...
Once you go back, I think subtle body goes and mind doesn't...
Yeah, remain. This memory doesn't remain. But Krishna promises that it will never happen. So we have faith and trust on Krishna's promise, not on the process, how it will not happen. Like sometimes they give you polio drop and they say you never get polio. Now, if there was a chance of getting it before, why there is no chance of getting it after? But we take, okay. It will not happen. So, this devotion is polio drop. It will not happen again. Vaccination. Okay? Yes. You had a question? I'm sorry, I saw a hand. So, we'll end here. It's 9 p.m. Thank you very much. श्रीमद्भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण।